In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. What exactly does that mean? Here was Paul, an apostle of God, admitting that he had weaknesses, and only through his weakness could he become strong. Now, the weakness he had didn't make him strong, but overcoming it gave him that strength. And this is very relevant for us today, since we all have weaknesses that we must fight to overcome. It is nothing that is easily overcome, but can only be done through faith, prayer, and repentance. If we didn't have any weaknesses, then we would be perfect. And we all know that's not the case, since none of us are perfect. And don't think you are the only one that has a weakness. Every person in the Bible, other than Christ, who came to this earth as a human, had a weakness, even some of the greatest who were men of God and who actually will be in the kingdom. But they too had to struggle continuously to overcome their weaknesses, and they also had to experiment punishment by God to make them stronger. Many of them went through trials that seemed impossible to get through, but strength was on their side. And as I go through some examples today, we should think to ourselves if this does imply to us certain weaknesses that we may face. Now, if you haven't guessed yet, that is the title of my sermonette, is Our Strengths and Weaknesses. The first example I want to talk about is Job. And we all know that he had some serious trials. He lost everything. His family, his possessions, his health was affected. And even after all that, he wasn't angry towards God. However, he did have a weakness, and that was his self-righteousness, and which he eventually did overcome by acknowledging God's power. And as a result, he actually received twice as much as he had before his trials. The next one would be Samson, who also had an incredible gift from God, and he took that for granted. His weakness was women. They were more important to him than God was, and every time he got into trouble because of women, he never looked to God for help, but decided to fight his own battles instead. As a result, he was killed. But before he died, he realized what his sin was and repented over it. He had finally overcome his weakness. Unfortunately, it was right before he died. But he did make it. Now, we heard last week about Moses from my dad. Thank you. And his weakness was anger. Now, I would consider this one very easy to become a weakness because, I mean, everybody gets angry. And since we heard about it in the sermon last week, you know, it's very difficult to control. And ask yourself if you consider yourself easily tempered. Now, I'll admit that I will get angry sometimes. Especially, you know, over silly things. I mean, most of the things I get angry about are indeed silly. Like driving, for example. I'm sure a lot of people get in that situation. And with my job, that's what I do all day. I pretty much drive. And let's say someone cuts me off. And there's a million things that I could think at that moment to get even with that person. And that had been a weakness of mine in the past. And, you know, now it's not too bad. It just depends on how serious it is, I guess. But the overall thing is how we must feel about it, and we have to have control. I think that's the key word, especially when we're angry, is control. Somebody says something to you that you don't like or you don't agree with. How do you respond? Control. Have to have control. For the most part, I am pretty good at overcoming things quickly. If I am angry, it doesn't dwell with me. You know, the next day I pretty much have forgotten about it. I mean, it depends on the situation. Unfortunately, I haven't been in a situation that's been bad enough where I can stay angry for a long time, and hopefully it doesn't happen. Now, hopefully I didn't just spark something. Now I'm going to have a trial hit upon me. But what about this one? Do we sometimes make others angry by what we say or do? For a simple example, asking the other person what's wrong with them, and they just reply, nothing, in a stern voice. But you don't really agree with that, and you ask them again, oh, seriously, what's wrong? And they once again hastily reply, nothing. You're still not convinced, and you ask a third time. Now, at this point, you have just sparked an argument, and you just made the other person angry. If you don't know what I'm talking about, husbands, why won't you ask your wives? Or in my case, my fiance. But the most important thing here is, of course, again, how we control ourselves. And then you could also ask, what would Christ do in this situation? Well, let's see what he would do. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, where we start. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And then going over to chapter 3, verse 8 to 11, this is now just for us. All of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And that is exactly what we must do when we're in a situation like that, as hard as it may be sometimes. Now, fortunately, there were some in the Bible who were not strong enough, and as a result, just gave up completely, like what happened to King Saul. For example, I'm actually not going to go into that, but the one I do want to go into is Judas. And here's another example that we may sometimes fall into as a weakness. Now, he had a weakness and he did not overcome it. And his weakness was money. In Matthew 26, verse 13, we know that he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, he was greedy for money. And that's very dangerous, because money and riches had the better of him. Just like the one individual who asked Christ in Matthew chapter 19, what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And when Christ told him to sell everything that he had and follow him, give it to the poor, he didn't want to do that because he had money, a lot of riches, and that just was more important to him. The material possessions that he had was more important to him. Now, hopefully, we don't have that kind of attitude. And we should know where the money and everything that we do have comes from, because it could be gone tomorrow. Now, since today is a holy day, we have yet another offering to give, as commanded. At the same time, we're giving God thanks for the blessings that he continuously gives us. He does continuously give it to us. Now, sometimes we may think that times are too tough, that we aren't being blessed. But think of it more as a test that we need to overcome. And also, we do have help from God. All we have to do is ask. I actually want to turn to Romans chapter 8 and see what kind of help we do get. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he, talking about Christ, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have to continue to have faith, and we have to continually show God how truly thankful we are. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, we read about a tithe principle that is very relevant for today, obviously. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Remember this. If we are generous, and one of our weaknesses is money, either you don't want to give it away, or you're pretty stingy with money, then give a little more. How about that? Give a little more and then see what will happen. Of course, only give what you are able to give. It's all in the heart. Because we should never give grudgingly, as it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Because if we do that, that will defeat the whole purpose. Now, each one of us is unique. We all have various strengths and weaknesses. Now, obviously, today I focus more on the weaknesses because we all know what our strengths are. And there wouldn't really be a problem with that. But it's the weaknesses that we have to focus on. Each one of us knows what they are. And we all know what it is that we have to work on. If there is a certain weakness we have trouble with, we should make it a priority to overcome. We have just experienced keeping sin out of our lives by staying away from leavened products. We heard all about that this morning. The sermon to end sermon. And that, of course, is a weakness. We had to stay on guard, and we had to focus, making sure that we did not stumble by eating a leavened product. Now, I've had my temptations this week, as I'm sure most of you did as well. And I thought it was going to be increasingly difficult, because, first of all, it was a solid week, work week. I mean, and in my job, I'm always getting confronted with leavened products because people are so generous that they want to share food with me. But of course, I just didn't have any luck with that this week because everything that was offered to me had leavening in it. So I delivered this one place, and they actually had a pizza party. On top of that, had cake for dessert. And in the past, of course, I was always quick to indulge myself in that. But this time, I completely avoided the place altogether because I didn't even want to go there and say, oh, no, because then in the future, they'll never offer it to me again, thinking I would just always say no. So I didn't even want to deal with that. And some people were surprised when I went other places asking, when they say, hey, would you like a cookie on the way out? Like, oh, no, no. So that's okay. It's like, what? Are you sure? Wait a minute. That's not the mic I know. But so, and then Ray's little example this morning with the cookies at the hotel, that sparked that as well. Because, Ray, I know what you're going through. I know exactly how difficult it was. And then you think about it later to see if you actually did it or not. But this is where it slips in. Look how easy it is for sin just to come in like that. And that's how it can cause us to fail. But we can be reassured knowing that when that happens, we can ask for forgiveness. By keeping leaven out of our lives, we still need it to build our strength and fill it with righteousness by eating unleavened bread. Yes, we did have to endure eating matzos during this time. And to Dave Harris, I was actually kind of curious as to what kind of matzos he was eating, because they actually make matzos now that have flavor, believe it or not. And you can actually put things on matzos to make it taste better. Because I wouldn't just eat matzos plain. Yeah, it would taste like the box. That's why I don't do it. Joking, of course, here. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is now over, but we still have to continue by keeping sin out of our lives. We are the few, the chosen, that God has called, as we see in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things, which is us, of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. We still need to overcome our weaknesses, and we have to replace it with righteousness.